Greetings, Sister Saint, Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, I want to talk to you about Anabaptist feminism. And before I get into that, I want to read Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so, sisters, because we love God, we love our neighbor. And who's our neighbor? Everybody. And we don't just love our neighbors in word with lip service, but also in deed. And so one of the ways we love our neighbor is to share the gospel. Of course, that's one of the commands that we're given. And I'm just going to tell you, the Anabaptists have an unbiblical gospel. And Brother James teaches about that. You can see that on the Discernment blog, various articles. Let me know. I can send them to you if you can't find them. They also have many man-made traditions that are sinful. But anyway, what I want to talk to you about is the fact that we see so much feminism that's raging through the Anabaptist groups. And I'm going to share something that made me think of doing this audio. It was maybe last week. We were checking out of a store, and it was a Mennonite young woman. She looked Mennonite, Anabaptist group. Anyway, Brother James gave her a gospel card after we were done, and we missed a phone call. And when Brother James checked his voicemail, we got a message from a woman calling to say that we gave her daughter a gospel card and to stop doing it. She was pretty angry. She said, they throw the cards away anyway. And then she said, we have our own religion. And she must have went on for about a minute or so. And right at the last few seconds, we're assuming it's the husband, he spoke up and said, I think you don't have the truth. And then they hung up. So you see the feminism there, sisters? And we just read about loving your neighbor. They broke that command, didn't they? Because if we're deceived, they showed absolutely no love for us if they think we're deceived. But anyway, I'm going to share another example with you, and I'm sharing these with you because these are firsthand examples that we've experienced. We've experienced many, many, many. I'd be here all day sharing them with you, so I just picked a few of them. Brother James gave an Amish man a gospel tract, and if I recall, they had a pretty good conversation about it. And it was maybe months later when we got back from traveling, we got a letter, a long letter from his wife. And she said that he put it on his nightstand and she took it off and sent it back to us. And she went on and she said she agrees with some of the things we said, but mostly it's wrong that God's their judge and that we should stop doing what we're doing. And you see the feminism there? And that's not it. I'll share another one. Not just one. This is like a series of examples that happens. So in the Midwest, there's a lot of different types of Anabaptist groups, all the way from like Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Ohio, and we're kind of around in those areas a lot. There's some in Nebraska. Well, they're all over, but there's like big communities and groups, and especially down here where we're at. And so Brother James gets a lot of opportunities to witness to them. And I would say maybe 9 times out of 10, they'll listen. Some do talk and some are engaged. Sometimes they'll just take it and walk off. But oftentimes, Brother James gets an opportunity to talk with them a little bit. And while he's doing that, if the wife's not there, it usually goes pretty good. But as soon as she shows up, oftentimes she'll cut it off and say something about, we have our own religion, or she'll tell her husband, we got to get going. And then she grabs him by the arm and pulls him off. You see the feminism there? We see that all the time. And, oh, Brother James told me about this one. I forgot about this one. It was about 3 years ago. We stood outside an Anabaptist religious building here, not too far from us. And Brother James was talking with the pastor, talking with some of the elders there. And, well, as a side note, I'm going to say there was a lot of wicked men there. They were laughing and joking and singing songs in a mocking manner, supposedly songs that were supposed to be honoring to God. And they were acting really goofy and trying to dissuade the situations while the conversation was going on. But anyway, when they left, Brother James had the opportunity to have some conversations with a couple of the men who admitted they have pride and vanity problems in that religious body. And sisters, that's not the only men who have admitted this. Brother James has talked to many different groups, and a lot of the men admit that they have troubles getting their women in line. There's a lot of feminism there. I'm just going to tell you, 3 years later, sisters, that religious body is still the same, and it's getting worse. More feminism. Same with a lot of the rest of the bodies around here. It's, yeah, anyway, so, let me see. I just got some notes here. Oh, yeah, pretty much, that was what I was going to share for examples. I did want to make, I did want to talk to you about the fact that feminism is, it's not just in how a woman acts, you know, like those examples that we saw. You know, feminism is also in how a woman dresses. And the Bible teaches women to wear long, loose, unadorned robes, dresses, skirts, whatever, however you want to say it. And the Anabaptist women, almost every group we've seen, wears form-fitting dresses. They're not biblical. And they adorn them. And the men, I'll just be honest with you, the men are no different. Theirs are form-fitting. I'm not here to teach men. I'm just kind of pointing these things out for you to understand. The men are even feminized. Well, not just in the dress, but the men are feminized because they allow the women to have feminism and rule over them. And just another note, their head coverings, most of their head coverings are unbiblical because they're just a little tiny bun cover on the back when the Bible says they're supposed to cover the head. And I will admit, there are some of their caps or bonnets that do have full coverage that could be biblical, but there's not very many that wear those. They seem to be getting smaller and smaller into almost non-existence to where you have to look really hard to see if they even have the head covering on. So anyway, I don't know, sisters, I don't do this out of hatred. I do it out of love, and I want to warn some of you and hopefully convict somebody to repent. And if any of you that are listening belong to an Anabaptist group, I encourage you to test all things to the scriptures and repent of man-made religion, and we're here to help you and your household. And sisters, don't let looks deceive you. Test everybody's fruit to the Word of God, and let us all examine our own lives for any form of feminism. Because it's not just in that group, and it's not just segregated to certain areas. We can all have feminism within us. And so we all need to be examining ourselves. And I just share some of these examples with you of what to watch out for. So anyway, I'm going to leave you with this. The fact that feminism stems from a lot of pride, and God hates pride. I want to read Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. All right, sister. So let me know how I can encourage you in the ways of being a godly, holy woman. Love. All right, I had to turn it back on. I accidentally bumped it off. I wanted to end this by saying love to you all. Hold fast, sister saints. May God be praised.